Good morning. We thank you for tuning in to our program. It could be that you've tuned in to it, that is, you're listening live on the radio right now, or it could be that you're listening using our website. Either way, we're glad that you tune in and check out these programs. Our goal is to teach the Bible and to address things, cultural issues, societal issues that are so damaging, devastating to people. Our goal is to warn people about sinful practices. Sometimes that might be in the category of morals and ethics, as we sometimes distinguish those, and sometimes it might be doctrinal. But either way, the consequences are the same, and so we need to be warned and we need to be instructed. We need to do our own study. We need to examine the Scriptures to find out what is truth. Acts 17, verse 11 gives us a model of behavior for that that is commended to us. The Bereans were noble-minded. They searched the Scriptures daily to see what was true, to see if those things were so. We want you to do that. We want you to scrutinize every word that we say. We want to make sure that you're examining your Bible and make sure that we're speaking as the oracles of God, as Peter tells us to do in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. And we want to be consistent in our applications as well. We don't want to be hypocritical and thus basically negate the effectiveness of our message. So be sure, and if you find anything contrary to what the Bible teaches, be sure and let us know. We want to encourage you to come and attend our services. We meet at the building located at 125 Hilltopper Avenue each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Bible classes, 10 o'clock Sunday mornings for worship services, and then 6 o'clock Sunday evenings for worship services, Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Want to, this morning, consider a question, something that came to my mind as a result of reading some things about Satanism this week, and particularly satanic organizations set up programs after school, clubs and programs to help what they call help young people. Of course, there are all kinds of programs and different clubs and group activities that are set up for after school, and many of these are good and right. But what about a satanic club? What about a satanic club where you're taught Satanism, where children are taught the ideas that are peculiar to Satan, his goals, his endeavors? Most of this is very deceptive and misleading, and people, young people, are caught off guard because they're simply uninformed. I want to use this program today to remind many in this audience. It could be that you're not a regular listener, or maybe you're not really an avid Bible student, and so it might be instruction for you. It might just be in the form of straightforward teaching for you to hear these things, but they need to be stated. If you study the history of Satan in the Bible, you're going to see a picture of a being that has not helped humanity. God, the only reason Satan exists is because God allows him to exist. He serves a purpose. He serves a purpose of testing, allowing God to see whether or not people are wholeheartedly interested in serving him. It's a matter of Satan working alongside perfect human free agency and men and women being tested. And that's the only reason he's allowed to exist. I always say God could have designed us without free agency as automatons, where we simply do what we're programmed to do like a computer does. He could have done that. But, of course, there's a difference between programming something to do something and it has no choice, and a thing choosing to do what it does. There's a big difference. And that's the beauty of free agency. God will be served by people who want to serve him. He made humans in his likeness after his image, his spiritual image. And so the idea is that since God is a free agent, does what he wants to do. He has his laws, he has his nature, and he works within the confines of those things, but he is free to do many things. Look at the Bible history of the various things that God has done. Sometimes people will talk about what God is doing. The Bible does tell us some things that God is doing, but it doesn't tell us everything. We don't know what all God is doing. An omnipotent, infinite being, omniscient being, we don't know what all God is doing or capable of doing. With God, all things are possible. With Him, nothing is impossible. That's stated both ways in the Bible. And so we have to remind ourselves of that fact from time to time to appreciate the greatness of God. But one of the things we do appreciate about God is that He made us in His image after His likeness, and that means we are made as free agents. Since we are humans and capable of sinning, we are free moral agents. And the devil serves the purpose of tempting, testing us. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5 is a great verse on this, because that's where Paul simply called the devil the tempter. The tempter. And he's called the tempter in Matthew 4 when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. The tempter. Isn't it perfect? The tempter. And we can appreciate the significance of that terminology. The tempter, Paul said, consequently, when I could hold off no longer, I sent to know your faith, whether perhaps the tempter had tempted you and our labor had been in vain. Now, what does he say? Well, that they were going along, these Thessalonians were going along doing just fine, but there was a concern. There was a concern after a certain amount of time. Paul sent to know their faith. Why? Because of the potential for the tempter to have tempted them and them lose their faith. He wanted to know their faith. You know, some people claim, and I don't know how you can read the Bible very far at all and believe this and conclude this, but some people claim that we cannot fall from grace. The Bible explicitly, repeatedly refutes that notion. Apostasy is indeed possible because it is an exercise of our free agency. The tempter would do his part, tempting us, and then if we make the wrong decision, that is the decision to serve the tempter, Satan, we would fall. We would fail. Now, we can be restored, but the fact is we would lose our salvation while we're practicing sin and while we're unrepentant. We must repent and ask God for forgiveness in order to be forgiven. So we need to consider what the role of the devil is. How can you have and help people? How can you have a satanic after-school club set up to teach and influence young people in the ways of Satan and help them? I don't understand how people, these guys are claiming that they're helping these students. They're not helping them. You have to redefine the word help in order to call it help. No, Satan has not helped people. Satan has not helped people. Satan may be allowed by God to operate, to exist, but he is not helping people. You cannot use that language. You can say that God allows him to serve the purpose of testing people, but it is not helping them. So I want us to consider this today. If you open your Bible and you begin to read about Satan, you know, you will find this in the early part of your Bible in Genesis chapter 3. He's introduced to us. He's introduced in connection with the serpent, which is described as being a subtle beast of the garden. But Satan was working through that particular form, that particular creature. And he was able to speak, you remember. He spoke to Eve. She was able to understand what he was saying. Not only did he speak to her, he used deceptive arguments, or what we call sophistry, trickery, in order to fool Eve into thinking that something bad was good. This is what Satanism does today. It fools people into thinking that something bad is good. The only way they could have said, and I read the article, could claim that they were helping these young people is if you redefine the word help. Now, if you were to say helping them to understand that things that society and culture and religion consider to be wrong are not necessarily wrong, if that's your definition of helping, then I can see how they would say that. But then there is reality. Everything about Satan is destructive. When people succumb to his offers, his sophistry, his temptations, their lives end up worse. That's exactly what you see with Adam and Eve. Eve and Adam, Eve first and then Adam, in the Garden of Eden. Their lives were ruined as a result of succumbing to the temptation of Satan. Satan's ways destroyed their relationship with God. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. It was blocked, miraculously, the entrance to it miraculously blocked to prevent humans from re-entering. Now I want you to think about that. Then they go out, and the woman is punished. You read all this in Genesis chapter 3, the punishments that are meted out in verses about 14, 15 through 19 there. You read about what happened to the woman. She would have pain in childbearing now. And women still experience that, don't they? And the man, his acquisition of food would be more difficult. He would now have to work, and the sweat of his face, he would produce his food. In other words, it would be work. It would be hard. It would be difficult. They were working before, according to Genesis 2 and verse 15, in the garden, dressing and keeping it, but the work was not miserable. It was not dreaded. It was not hard. You didn't have to sweat, toil. It was just a job. It's almost like the difference would be the difference between how you see a hobby and how you see work today. So a big difference. All of a sudden, the humans are cast out of the garden and they're out here in a very difficult environment. The environment that we are still in today. Every time I read about the ground bringing forth thorns and thistles and man having to work and get his food in the sweat of his face, I think about farming, and I think about back home and when those Russian thistles spread across north central Arkansas and became very difficult to control. You had to poison them regularly. And those were some wicked things. And, of course, bitter weeds and all kinds of other weeds and problems. Problem vegetation, vetch, other things. It would grow and crowd out the grass, starve out the nutrients, and it was just a very, very counterproductive, very costly for the chemicals you had to buy, for the time you had to spend spraying and treating, for all of that, for the loss in crops. So good crops, productive crops, I mean, we're still living that, is my point, friends. Satan's effects are still here. But then you move forward in the Bible and you think about Job. God, yes, allowed Satan to do some things that were actually in the realm of the supernatural. God allowed it to happen. He allowed Satan to directly inflict the lives of Job's children. He allowed Satan to kill those kids. Think about that. Satan did that, though. Satan did it. Satan's the one that made the proposal, said, "Nah, Job serves you, God, because you've protected him." And God allowed Satan to reach out and destroy the things of Job's possessions. You remember first it was the Sabaeans. The Sabaeans came and they fell upon his sheep and his donkeys. They took those captive and killed the servants, or his donkeys and oxen. And then his sheep were next. And fire just came down and consumed them. God allowed Satan to do that. Now, Satan is not permitted now by God. He's been restrained today. According to Revelation chapter 20, he's not able to do what he did back then. Back in the miracle ages of the Bible, you had the offsetting power of God to deal with Satan. But we don't have miracles today. A lot of people claim we do, but we do not. And Satan is not allowed to work in the same way that he did even in the first century. And so we need to remember that. That's a little bit of a larger study. Perhaps, Lord willing, here in a couple of weeks I will do that and address that subject. But I want us today to be a little more general. I want us to consider the damage that Satan has inflicted. Excuse me. We think of Job, and then we think, of course, of God also after Satan advanced further, and Job continued faithful to God after losing his oxen and his camels. Later, by the Chaldeans, took those and killed the servants, and then the children were killed, and you had a couple of man-made disasters and a couple of natural disasters there. Wind hit the house where all of the children were celebrating, and from four corners, incidentally, an interesting wind, it struck from all four corners and collapsed the house and killed the children. Satan did that. Have you ever thought about how many children, how many people's children have been lost as a result of, as a consequence of Satan's works throughout the history of man? If you were to think of, and we see this all the time in the news, just all of the time, parents who are grieving the loss of their children because of fentanyl or other drugs and other drug abuse, or alcohol, or the consequences of alcohol in the form of accidents that kill people on the highways. Satan is involved in all of that. Children today are being killed. It's indirect. It's not a miraculous act on the part of Satan. Not a supernatural act. It's indirect. It's through the influences of Satan upon people in wickedness. What about children who suffer being beaten up, being abused, being bullied, being murdered at the hands of other young people? Think of gang violence to the tune of tens of thousands over the years who have died. Why is that? Because of the influence of Satan upon other people. And often connected to some of these other things, like drug wars, drug abuse, and things of that nature. That's Satan doing that. So children are still losing their lives today as a result of the work of Satan. It works a little differently, but the fact remains, it is Satan. What about all of that we see today going on with property destruction, with theft? Now to the tune, retail theft to the past few years to the tune of multiple billions, I said billions with a B, recently reported, billions of dollars of theft. Retailers are hurting so bad that they're closing their businesses. Some who have been in business in locations for decades, simply closing their businesses. I think about the effects of this for the honorable, honest people, hardworking people that live in these communities, and now they won't have easy access to products, to food. Friends, think about that. Now, who's responsible for that? Well, people are responsible, bad people, but where do these bad people get their ideas? From Satan. It's Satan's influences. Satan destroys our world. What caused all these deaths over in the Middle East, the initial deaths in Israel of just innocent people that were living their lives, and little babies and women that were tortured and raped, and babies that were killed in horrendous ways? What was responsible for that? The devil. Satan was responsible for that, operating through those Hamas terrorists. And then there was fallout from that. Those guys go in and they commit those murders, and what's the follow-up? What's the response going to be? Well, thousands of those guys are dead now. And there's always, because of war, there's always other fallout. You have consequences with regard to civilians. Many civilians have died as a result of the war that the people of Gaza allowed to happen by supporting the Hamas terrorists. I want you to think about this. Who's behind all this? Satan is always behind all of this. We see this in Matthew chapter, along with Job. Well, let me finish the Job story. God allowed Job to directly afflict, Satan to directly afflict Job physically, health-wise, but he said, you're not permitted to take his life. And so, what happened to Job? Well, the story in Job chapter 2 now. Job 2, where you see Job afflicted from the top of his head to the soles of his feet with painful boils. It broke out all over his body. You know, if you get over into the text of the book of Job, those of you who are familiar with that book, you just keep going. Things keep coming out about the severity of his condition. He couldn't sleep because of pain and itching and nightmares. He had oozing sores all over his body. The description is pretty graphic when you get over into the book of Job, where he talks about the nature of his sores and how it affected him both physically and mentally. So, who did that? Well, the Bible says in Job chapter 2 that Satan did that. Satan did that. We think about the consequence of the initial sins of Adam and Eve and them losing access to the Garden of Eden and going out into this environment that we now know simply as Earth. Going into a different environment. What are we subject to as a result of the sin that Satan tempted Adam and Eve into committing? We're subject to all of those things. We're subject to various conditions, illnesses, diseases, viruses. We're subject to we're subject to death. We're subject to all sorts of things, the conditions of this environment. And so we need to remember who is the cause of all of the pain and suffering. That's why satanic clubs do not need to be permitted to operate on school campuses that are paid for with taxpayer money. They do not need to be permitted to operate there. People simply need to step in and say no to that. People need to say no to it, and if it comes down to it, people need to revolt and simply take their children out of those schools. Because Satan is responsible for all of this evil. I want to show you a good summary verse in the Bible about what Satan is responsible for, what he does. We've talked about his deception and his desire to hurt people. His desire to kill people. When we think of Job, killed his children. Killed Job's children. Directly. That's what he would. God gives us a little insight into the story of Job on what Satan would do if he was allowed to do it. He would afflict in various ways people, and he would kill people. That's what Satan would do if he were allowed to have that power today. We know that because of Job chapters 1 and 2. So these naive people who think, oh, we need to be open-minded and allow Satanism to operate in our school systems. No, we do not. You're talking about a problem going from bad to worse. That's what's going to happen. Here's why. Paul, when he was passing through, went to the island of Paphos. It says he found a Jew named Bar-Jesus who was a sorcerer and a false prophet. He was the proconsul. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of understanding who summoned Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear God's message. Now, let's see what happens here. And the sorcerer, Elymas by interpretation, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Now, a lot of these Satanists, of course, want that. They don't like the Bible. They don't like the idea of how God is presented and represented in the Bible. They want to destroy the Bible. If they could snap their fingers and every Bible and every biblical text, digital or otherwise, vanish, that's exactly what they would do. We know that. So the first thing is, he says, we read that the Sergius Paulus wanted to hear God's message, but the sorcerer tried to turn him away from the faith. Now listen to what Paul said. Then Saul, who is also Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit and stared at him and said, "You son of the devil, you son of the devil." I was recently preaching on the nature of Satan at Parkway, and I have a little bit left in that study to finish. But I was recently preaching on that, and I used this passage because what Paul here describes about Elymas, he's describing about Satan. He said, "You son of the devil, full of treachery and wickedness, you enemy of all that is right, will you not stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?" All right. Now I want you to think about the picture that was just painted of Satan. Full of treachery, full of deceit, and by the way, full of wickedness. How many people honestly enjoy being around that type of behavior? Where you're being lied to, you're being cheated, you're being deceived, you're being manipulated, you're being mistreated. You're having to be around people who are practicing wickedness. Do you really enjoy that? Do people really enjoy that? Wicked people might say, "Yeah, I like the life of doing what I want to do, being free to engage in whatever type of immorality I want to." Yeah, but do you enjoy it when other immoral people take advantage of you, steal from you, take your money, take your clothing, take your property? What about when they defame you? Satan is notorious for that. What about when they twist your words and have you say things that represent you as saying things that you didn't say? David talked about that in Psalm 55, or 56, in verse 5, I believe it is. Those who were operating on the side of Satan, who were twisting his words all of the time. Do you like that? Does anyone like that? People complain about it. Even wicked people complain about it a lot if they're misrepresented. Even wicked people don't want to be misrepresented. Well, who is the author of that type of misrepresentation? Well, what about this? In John chapter 8, what did Jesus say about the devil, about those who serve the devil? Verse 44, he told unbelieving Jews, "You are of your father the devil, and you wish to do the lust of your father." Okay, what would that be? Jesus. Well, he was a murderer from the beginning. Do wicked people enjoy being murdered? I thought they just wanted to do their own thing, be free to practice whatever they wanted to practice without somebody saying, "You know, you shouldn't be doing that." I thought that's what it was. Yeah, well, what about when wickedness is full-blown, goes the full route? What does it end up doing? It ends up being murderous. And Satan is behind that. He was a murderer from the beginning. This goes back to Cain and Abel, Genesis 4. He was a murderer from the beginning. Do you really enjoy someone attacking you in order to kill you with a deadly intent? Cutting you with a knife, shooting you with a gun, whatever the tool might be, hitting you with a hammer. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has not stood in the truth. And people say, "Oh, the truth is not absolute. Truth is just relative, so that's okay." All right. What about the next one? When he tells a lie, he speaks of his own because he is a liar and its father. How many people really enjoy? I know people don't enjoy being murdered. The devil is father of that. How many people enjoy being lied to? A lot of people like to lie. But I've noticed before there's always a double standard on this. Liars don't like being lied to. They don't like things being misrepresented to them. No, they want you to tell the truth. They may be liars, but they don't want to be lied to. People just don't appreciate lying. Lying is destructive to the very foundation of society. Lying, deceit, fraud, all of these are in the same family of sin. Satan, Jesus said Satan is the author of that. So I don't think it's very smart for people to be allowing satanic groups to operate on school campuses. That needs to stop. Our time is up today. We thank you for tuning in. We hope you'll tune in next week for another study. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day.